Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Philippians 2:8 says this, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Philippians 2:8. Well, my friends, we are looking at the ancient book of Jubilees this morning, and we're going to be looking at chapter 22 and 23, which deals with the last prayer of Abraham as he prays over, really specifically, Jacob. And we have the death of Abraham, and then a little bit of end time prophecy towards the end of chapter 23. So that's what we're going to be dealing with today. It also deals with why people don't live as long as they used to. And contrary to what the world teaches you and what you may think, human beings used to live much, much longer and age much, much slower than they do today. We think we're improving, but the reality is, friends, we are decaying, and we're decaying at a rapid rate compared to how it used to be, and really how it was before the flood. But even after the flood, people were living much, much longer than they are now, and there's a reason for that, and we'll discover that as we dig into this as well. So that's what we're looking at. So without further delay, let's dig right in, starting with chapter 22. Let's begin. Verse 1. "And it came to pass in the first week, in the 44th Jubilee, in the second year, that is, the year in which Abraham died, that Isaac and Ishmael came from the well of the oath to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is, the feast of the first fruits of the harvest to Abraham, their father. And Abraham rejoiced because his two sons had come. For Isaac had many possessions in Beersheba, and Isaac was wont to go and see the possessions and to return to his father. And in those days Ishmael came to see his father, and they both came together, and Isaac offered a sacrifice for a burnt offering, and presented it on the altar of his father, which he had made in Hebron. And he offered a thank offering, and made a feast of joy before Ishmael, his brother. And Rebekah made new cakes from the new grain, and gave them to Jacob her son to take them to Abraham, his father, from the first fruits of the land, that he might eat and bless the Creator of all things before he died. And Isaac too sent by the hand of Jacob to Abraham a best thank offering, that he might eat and drink. And he ate and he drank, and blessed the Most High God, who hath created heaven and earth, who hath made all the fat things of the earth, and had given them to the children of men, that they might eat and drink and bless their Creator. And now I give thanks unto thee, my God, because thou hast caused me to see this day. Behold, I am 103 years, an old man and full of days, and all my days have been unto me peace. The sword of the adversary hath not overcome me in all that thou hast given me and my children, all the days of my life until this day. My God, may thy mercy and thy peace be upon thy servant, and upon the seeds of his sons, that they may be to thee a chosen nation, an inheritance from amongst all the nations of the earth, from henceforth unto all the days of the generations of the earth, unto all the ages." And he called Jacob, and he said, "My son Jacob." Real quick, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Isaac is Jacob's father, not Abraham. So why is Abraham calling him my son? In Hebrew, and in Hebrew culture, it's the same difference. It's not unusual to call your grandfather father, or for your grandfather to call you son. It's all... you know, it's all pretty much the same as far as the language is concerned. So back to verse 10. And he called Jacob, and he said, "My son Jacob, may the God of all bless thee and strengthen thee to do righteousness and his will before him. And may he choose thee and thy seed, that ye may become a people for his inheritance according to his will always. And do thou, my son Jacob, draw near and kiss me." And he drew near and he kissed him, and he said, "Blessed be my son Jacob, and all the sons of God Most High, unto all the ages. May God give unto thee a seed of righteousness, and may some of thy sons may he sanctify in the midst of the whole earth. May nations serve thee, and all the nations bow themselves before thy seed. Be strong in the presence of men, and exercise authority over all the seed of Seth, that thy ways and the ways of thy sons will be justified, so that they shall become a holy nation. May the Most High God give thee all the blessings wherewith he hath blessed me, and wherewith he had blessed Noah and Adam. May they rest on the sacred head of thy seed from generation to generation forever. And may he cleanse thee from all unrighteousness and impurity, that thou mayest be forgiven all thy transgressions and thy sins of ignorance. And may he strengthen thee and bless thee, and mayest thou inherit the whole earth. And may he renew his covenant with thee, that thou mayest be to him a nation for his inheritance for all the ages. And that he may be to thee and to thy seed a God in truth and righteousness throughout all the days of the earth. And do thou, my son Jacob, remember my words and observe the commandments of Abraham thy father. Separate thyself from the nations and eat not with them, and do not according to the works, and become not their associate, for their works are unclean, and all their ways are pollution and an abomination and uncleanliness. They offer their sacrifices to the dead, and they worship evil spirits. They eat over the graves, and all their works are vanity and nothingness. They have no heart to understand, and their eyes do not see what their works are, and how they err in saying to a piece of wood, 'Thou art my God,' and to a stone, 'Thou art my Lord and thou my deliverer.' And they have no heart. And as for me, as for thee, my son Jacob, may the Most High God help thee, and the God of heaven bless thee and remove thee from their uncleanliness and from all their error. Be thou aware, my son Jacob, of taking a wife from any seed of the daughters of Canaan, for all his seed is to be rooted out of the earth. For owing to the transgressions of Ham, Canaan erred, and all his seed will be destroyed from off the earth, and all the residue thereof. And none springing from him will be saved on the day of judgment. And as for all the worshippers' idols and the profane, there will be no hope for them in the land of the living, and there will be no remembrance of them on the earth, for they will descend into Sheol, and into the place of condemnation they will go, as the children of Sodom were taken away from the earth, so will all those who worship idols be taken away." Quick note, Sheol, you see that in the Bible as well. It's believed that that's another word for hell, Sheol. Right now Abraham's just telling Jacob, you need to stay away from the Canaanite women, because that seed is to be rooted out of the earth because of sin. And then he's telling them, they're going to descend in Sheol just as and face that condemnation, just like the children of Sodom were taken away from the earth, and all those who worship idols. Where they're going on judgment day. Verse 23. "Fear not, my son Jacob, and be not dismayed, O son of Abraham. May the Most High God preserve thee from destruction and from all the paths of error. May he deliver thee. This house have I built for myself, that I might put my name upon it in the earth. And it will be named the house of Abraham. It is given to thee and to thy seed forever, for thou wilt build my house and establish my name before God forever. Thy seed and thy name will stand throughout all the generations of the earth. And he ceased commanding him, and he began blessing him. And the two lay together on one bed, and Jacob slept in the bosom of Abraham, his father's father. And he kissed him 7 times, and his affection and his heart rejoiced over him. And he blessed him with all his heart and said, The Most High God, the God of all, the Creator of all, who brought me forth from Ur of the Chaldees, that he might give me this land to inherit it forever, and that I might establish a holy seed, blessed be the Most High forever. And he blessed Jacob and said, My son, over whom all my heart and my affection I rejoice, may thy grace and thy mercy be lift up upon him and upon his seed alway. And do not forsake him, nor set him at naught from henceforth into the days of eternity. And may thy eyes be open unto him and upon his seed, that thou mayest preserve him and bless him, and mayest sanctify him as a nation for thine inheritance. And bless him with all thy blessing, and from henceforth unto all the days of eternity. And renew thy covenant and thy grace with him, and with his seed, according to all thy good pleasures, unto all the generations of the earth. And that is the end of chapter 22. And now we'll read chapter 23, which looks to be about 26 verses. So let's begin. And he placed 2 fingers of Jacob on his eyes, and he blessed the God of gods. And he covered his face and stretched out his feet and slept the sleep of eternity and was gathered to his fathers. And notwithstanding all this, Jacob was lying in his bosom and knew not that Abraham, his father's father, was dead. And Jacob awoke from his sleep, and behold, Abraham was cold as ice. And he said, Father, Father. But there was none that spake, and he knew that he was dead. And he arose from his bosom, and he ran, and he told Rebekah his mother. And Rebekah went to Isaac in the night and told him. And they went together, and Jacob with them, and a lamp was in his hand. And when they had gone in, they found Abraham lying dead. And Isaac fell on the face of his father, and he wept, and he kissed him. And the voices were heard in the house of Abraham, and Ishmael his son arose, and went to Abraham his father, and wept over Abraham his father. He and all the house of Abraham, they wept with great weeping. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the double cave near Sarah his wife. And they wept for him 40 days, all the men of his house, and Isaac and Ishmael, and all their sons, and all the sons of Ketra in their places. And the days of weeping for Abraham were ended. And he lived 3 jubilees and 4 weeks of years, 175 years, and completed the days of his life, being old and full of days. For the days of the forefathers of their life were 19 jubilees, and after the flood they began to grow less than 19 jubilees, and to decrease in jubilees, and to grow old quickly, and to be full of their days by reason of manifold tribulation and the wickedness of their ways, with the exception of Abraham. All right, there's the part that I mentioned in the beginning, that the lifespan ever since the flood of humanity has been on the decline. Contrary to what they tell you, it's just a fact. It's been on the decline. What does it say here? 4 weeks of years, 175 years, completed the days of his life. I want you to remember something. You know, you remember Sarah's all worked up about how she's too old to have a kid, right? Yet, when they go into Egypt, they have to cover her beauty because she's so beautiful. And then what happens? The Pharaoh finds out about this woman who's perfect in stature, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, and he goes and he has her brought into his house. Yet, she's like 90 years old. The reason is because people used to age slower. So even when you were 90, you still looked like you did when you were 22. So you had two things going on. People were living longer, and they weren't aging nearly as poorly as they do today. And it tells us what the reason is for that. Let's reread that. It says, "For the days of the forefathers of their life were 19 jubilees. And after the flood, they began to grow less than 19 jubilees, and to decrease in jubilees, and to grow old quickly, and to be full of their days, by reason of manifold tribulation, and for the wickedness of their ways. With the exception of Abraham, for Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with the Lord, and well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. And behold, he did not complete 4 jubilees in his life, when he had grown old by reason of the wickedness, and was full of his days." So basically, the reason is because humanity continues to grow more and more wicked, is what it boils down to. And because of the wickedness of our hearts, our lifespan has decreased. And what used to be 200-400 years that a man would live and a woman would live, it's now, what, 70-80 on average? We're not even making it a quarter of what they used to. We're not even going to make it a half of what Abraham made it. You know, you look at some people, you see them, and they're, you know, sometimes I run into people that are my same age, and they look like they're 20, 30 years older than me. You know, I'm 37, they look like they're 50, 57. And I see them sometimes, and I'm thinking, man, they look like they've just led a hard life. And sometimes it's because life has been hard on them, but sometimes it's because you lived a life of sin and drunkenness and drugs, and it ages you. Sin ages you quickly. So I just thought that was interesting. Verse 11, "And all the generations which will rise from this time into the day of the great judgment will grow old quickly. Before they complete 2 jubilees, and their knowledge will forsake them by reason of their old age, and all their knowledge will vanish away." That's interesting too. According to Jubilees here, it's saying as you get older, your knowledge is going to start to slip away from you. Isn't it true? And it's all because of sin and because of our own wickedness. Verse 12, "And in those days, if a man live a jubilee and a half of years, 74 years, they will say regarding him, he hath lived long. And the greater part of his days are pain and sorrow and tribulation, and there is no peace." Wow. It's not only that, you know, getting past 70 is a success now. When used to, that was just, you were just getting started. But you're going to have tribulation and pain and sorrow. And not peace. This is the human condition. I was, you know, the other day I was sitting at my desk thinking about it. Sometimes I think to myself, man, I hate this world. Hate it. Because it's not just the United States. It's not just in the way. Everywhere is filth and debauchery and a hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every corner, everywhere you turn. I'm thinking, I hate this place. There's no peace. It's just tribulations and trials, and for everyone. Some more than others, but everyone's dealing with it on some level. This is where we've gotten to in these last days because of our sin. Because of the sin of humanity. And like the scriptures say, we have grown more and more wicked, and our hearts are waxed cold. Children are disobedient to parents. All these scriptures are being fulfilled. Brother turns against brother. The enemies of a man's household are his own family members. This is where we're at. And it all is because of sin. I keep bringing it up. It's just because man continues to grow more and more wicked. And Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah, right? What was going on? And we know that we've talked about all the issues going on in the days of Noah, but one of the biggest things is that people's minds were wicked all the time. All their thoughts were wicked all the time. And that's where we're headed right now. May the Lord Jesus come back quickly. All right, I've rambled too much, and we're going to be out of time, so I've got to move through this. Verse 13. For calamity falleth on calamity, and wound on wound, and tribulation on tribulation, and evil tidings on evil tidings, and illness on illness, and all evil judgments such as these, one with another. Illness and overthrow, and snow and frost, and ice and fever and chills, and torpor and famine and death, and sword and captivity, and all kinds of calamities and pains. And all these will come on an evil generation, which transgresseth on the earth. Their works are uncleanliness and fornication and pollution and abominations. Then they will say, the days of our forefathers were many, even unto 1,000 years, and were good. But behold, the days of our life, if a man have lived many, are 70 years, and if he is strong, 80 years, and those evil, and there is no peace in the days of this evil generation. And in that generation the sons will convict their fathers, and their elders of sin and unrighteousness, and of the words of their mouth, and of the great wickedness which they perpetuate, and concerning their forsaking of the covenant which the Lord had made between them and him, they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinance and all his laws without departing either to the right hand or to the left. For all have done evil, and every mouth speaketh iniquity, and all their works are uncleanliness and an abomination, and their ways are pollution, uncleanliness, and destruction. Behold, the earth will be destroyed on account of their works, and there will be no seed of the vine and no oil, for their works are altogether faithless. And they will all perish together, beasts and cattle and birds and all the fish of the sea, on account of the children of men. So right now, as you've been able to tell probably, we're looking at prophecy. It's talking about that evil generation that's going to come in the end, and how it's all going to be destroyed, even the animals and the fish and all the men. This world is going to burn. Verse 19. And they will strive one with another, the young with the old with the young, and the poor with the rich, and the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the law and the covenant. For they have forgotten the commandment, and covenant, and feast, and months, and Sabbaths, and jubilees, and all judgments. And they will stand with bows and swords and war, and turn them back into the way. But they will not return until much blood hath been shed on the earth, one by another. And those who have escaped will not return from the wickedness to the way of righteousness. But they will exalt themselves to deceit and wealth, and they may each take all that is his neighbor's. And they will name the great name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. They will defile the holies of holies with their uncleanliness and the corruption of their pollution. Something just jumped out at me that I hadn't caught before. Let me start at 21. And those who have escaped will not return from their wickedness to the way of righteousness, but they will exalt themselves to deceit and wealth, that they may each take all that is his neighbor's. Okay, we see that in our culture and in our world today. And they will name the great name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. And they will defile the holies of holies and their uncleanness and the corruption of their pollution. I wonder what the great name is that they're talking about. It's either Yehovah, which very few people even know, which is the name of God. And there's all these weird names of God out there that are not biblical. And when I say they're not biblical, I mean the manuscript evidence does not support it. Whereas there's thousands, well over 1,000 manuscripts that support Jehovah. And that's also what the King James translators believe the name of God was. In your English Bible, it says Jehovah. But the name above all names, according to the scriptures, is Jesus, Yeshua. And so it's saying that they're going to name the great name, but it won't be in truth and righteousness. It'll just be blabber. And they will defile the Holy of Holies with their uncleanliness and the corruption of their pollution. And a great punishment will befall the deeds of this generation from the Lord. And he will give them over to the sword and to judgment and to captivity and to be plundered and devoured. And he will wake up against them the sinners of the Gentiles, who have neither mercy nor compassion, and who will respect the persons of none, neither old nor young, nor anyone. For they are more wicked and strong to do evil than all the children of men. And they will use violence against Israel, and transgression against Jacob, and much blood will be shed upon the earth, and there will be none to gather, and none to bury. In those days they will cry aloud, and call and pray that they may be saved from the hand of sinners, the Gentiles, but none will be saved. And the heads of children will be white with gray hair, and a child of 3 weeks will appear like an old man of 100 years, and their stature will be destroyed by tribulation and oppression. So it's saying a child will be born and it'll look like an old man. You know, it makes me wonder, and I don't have much time to talk this out, but it makes me wonder what, you know, babies today, they do look like old people when they're born, right? And that's just normal. But what if babies looked different when they were born 3,000 years ago? 4,000 years ago? Maybe babies didn't look old coming out. Or this is something that's going to start happening soon. All the apocryphal books talk about strange things in regards to the birth of children. Second Esdras, we've read that apocryphal book, has a lot to say about weird things in regards to the children, and women will give birth to monsters in the last days. And in here in Jubilees, it's saying, you know, children will be born, they'll have gray hair, and appear like an old man. Verse 26, we're almost done. 3-4 more verses. In those days, the children will begin to study the laws and to seek the commandments and return to the path of righteousness. And the days will begin to grow many and increase amongst the children of men till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years, and to a greater number of years than before was the number of days. And there will be no old man, nor one who is not satisfied with his days, for all will be as children in youth. Here's the headline that Ken Johnson puts on this part says, renewed study of the law, followed by a renewal of mankind, the Masonic kingdom, and the blessedness of righteousness. You know, there is a movement towards this where people are beginning to say, you know what? We've been sold some goods that aren't really good. We need to get back to walking in righteousness, walking in holiness. And we've beat that horse nearly to death on this podcast. And if there's been one topic that we've talked about, it's been we need to be walking in righteousness and holiness, obeying the commandments of God, taking this serious. So let me start with verse 26. And in those days, the children will begin to study the laws and to seek the commandments and to return to the path of righteousness. And the days will begin to grow many and increase amongst the children of men till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years, and to a greater number of years than before was the number of the days. And, you know, our scriptures tell us that in the Masonic age, or the kingdom age, that if somebody only lives to be 100, it'll be said of them, wow, they didn't live a long life. And here in Jubilees, it's saying the same thing, you know, they'll be live to be like 1,000 years old. Verse 28, and there will be no old man, nor one who is not satisfied with days, for all will be children in youth, and all their days will be complete and live in peace and in joy. And there will be no Satan nor evil destroyer, for all their days will be the days of blessing and healing. And at that time the Lord will heal his servants, and they will rise up and see great peace and drive out their adversaries. And the righteous will see and be thankful and rejoice with joy forever and ever. and will see all their judgments and all their curses on their enemies. And their bones will rest in the earth, and their spirits will have much joy, and they will know that it is the Lord who exalteth judgment and showeth mercy to hundreds and thousands and to all that love him. And do thou, Moses, write down these words, for thus they are written and they are recorded on the heavenly tables for a testimony for the generations forever. That is Jubilees, chapter 22 and 23, and I am out of time, my friends. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you've been blessed and maybe motivated to walk in righteousness and holiness, because that's the real secret to living a long life, a blessed life. That's the real secret to it. Peace and grace be with all of you. Until next time, God bless.